Good morning on Tuesday, June 12th, 2012. You're listening to Brian and Gabe Live.
Good morning.
Yep. Hi, Gabe. I'm Brian Madden in San Francisco, and you just heard Gabe from Omaha.
I'm in pre-vacation mode. So, we are now halfway through my last day before a lengthy vacation. And so we're riding it out on a high note here with this show.
Fun. And then also joining us by Skype from London is Dan McCall. How are you doing, Dan?
Very good. Thanks for having me on the show. I came in on the red eye this morning, so I would call this the anti-vacation, and I couldn't fall asleep on the call. So if you're snoring or anything, just yell loud.
We'll mute you and then sort of make assumptions about what your answers would be. So
we're helping you regulate your time, right? So now we're keeping you awake so that you can stay awake as late as possible and be normal tomorrow.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So the way we set up this show is Dan, you were the CEO of Virtual Computer, correct?
That's correct.
And of course, Citrix acquired Virtual Computer. They announced that around Synergy, which was a month ago. So now you work at Citrix. You're sort of VP of, I don't know, what do you do at Citrix now?
So I'm running product management and product marketing. You probably have a pretty good sense for what that entails. But we're part of the Zen Client business unit, which is actually a pretty good sized business unit within Citrix today.
Okay, so you're still if you're product management, product marketing, are you sort of still like the main guy for the business that was Virtual Computer?
I'm on the executive team of that business unit, which is headed by a guy named Mitch Parker. So, this is maybe a common sort of thing when a business that has you could call it a competing product acquires another company with a similar product. We're joining that group, and that group actually had probably twice as many people as us.
Okay, so, and by the way, I want to point out, you are not the same Dan McCall who is the CTO of Tapterra. For those listening, there's another guy named Dan McCall. We've written about Tapterra on our Consumer Jason site. I just want to kind of point out that there are two Dan McCalls in the industry, and we have the Virtual Computer now Citrix Dan McCall, not the one from Tapterra. Actually, let me just verify.
I'm pretty sure I was here first, by the way, guys. I'm 50 years old. I got to believe I was here first.
Oh, yeah. This guy's not 50. But I guess
this is
an
office space thing. Michael Bolton?
Yeah. But we got the right Dan McCall on the phone, too, so that's good.
Always a good time.
So, talk a little bit about – okay, so first of all, I want to dig into a whole bunch of stuff. I want to talk about, maybe the very first thing to do is sort of bring us up to speed on the Virtual Computer products. So I've sort of, we talked about Virtual Computer in the past. I know I think you've been on a show before even. We've done videos with you guys in the past. And so just give us, 30 seconds of, who Virtual Computer was and what they were trying to do.
Sure, absolutely. And yeah, you know us quite well, Brian. We actually had you out talking to our customers at one point. So we started in early 2008, actually founded the company in 2007, and have been working pretty hard for the last, I don't know if there's a startup that's successful that doesn't work hard, but been working pretty hard for the last 4 years around the same vision. So, and it was a pretty simple value proposition. Basically what we said was, if you look at what happened in the server virtualization world, there was a fantastic use case around server consolidation, which drove a lot of the early sales. But somewhere along the line and not that far in, there was this, I would say, unintentional but delightful benefit that once you virtualize the servers, they just became easier to manage because now you're dealing with files rather than installations, and you can do all sorts of offline operations, et cetera. And so, our premise was very simple. We didn't see a consolidation automation opportunity at the desktop at the endpoint, but we saw a way of improving management by virtualizing the endpoint. And you know, in that regard, you know, other characteristics similar to servers, there's only type one environments in server environments, and I'm assuming your listeners know the difference between type one and type two.
Yeah.
So we set out on a pretty ambitious journey to build a type one hypervisor at the endpoint and then link it up with a management system that takes advantage of the fact that, again, now you have files and you've effectively turned a PC into a big MP3 player. And, you know, you go build the iTunes component of it and everybody can get their operating systems, you know, loaded, backed up, patched, recovered much more easily than they could in the past. And that was the vision for the company, and we literally were on we're about 4.5 years into the journey. Probably took us a good 3 years to get to a product that customers could be successful on, and that's really a function of how hard it is to build the client component. And I think we were well on our way. The next phase for the company was really to start accelerating our deployments out in the market.
So on the product side, and then I want to talk more about the Citrix thing, but I believe that, and I think this is from some of the meetings that I had with you, you know, back in Boston or wherever you are, somewhere, I forget where they were. Anyway.
Yep, in Westford, Mass, yeah.
Yeah, which the people, I remember it was a long drive from Boston. But
what isn't?
Yeah.
the virtual computer, you know, one of the things, I think two Bri forums ago, I said something like, oh, you need a client hypervisor, like you need a hole in your head. And I was sort of anti-client hypervisor because I was looking, and I think it was Virtual Computer who came to me and said, look, we're not about the hypervisor. Think of it more like we're about desktop management and laptop management. You know, the hypervisor is the tool, but for us, think of the hypervisor as sort of the Uber agent that does the patching, the updating, the backup, the encryptions, the verification, the image, you know, fixing, all that kind of stuff. And you really positioned it as not like a competitor to VDI necessarily, but more like a competitor to, you know, desktop and laptop management, SCCM, Alteris, that sort of thing. Is that a fair characterization for how Virtual Computer went to market?
Yeah, that's dead on. There's no question that we saw an opportunity. We didn't see an opportunity to monetize a hypervisor. You know, that's an enabling technology. You know, I think the whole point was, where are the pain areas in IT? And one of them is, you know, mobility and laptops and keeping things up to date and failed patches. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to ask too many IT managers to get a sense that patch failure rates on Patch Tuesday are between, you know, 5% and 10%. Well, if you got 1,000 desktops, you're doing a lot of desk side visits, you know, being treated. You're going to see 50 and 100 people to find out why the patch didn't take. And, you know, the architecture of that we built around VHD files and running them on a hypervisor and then doing the operations of patching and things like that below the operating system give us 100% success rate. So just that alone is enough for an IT department to buy the product. And, you know, our kind of theory of operations, because we actually complement many of those tools that are out there. And what we've seen is in the mid-market, they're quite interested in this as a standalone solution. In the enterprise, they'd like us to link in and be part of existing agent-based management systems. So they kind of blend together. It really depends on your expertise. But overall, our theory of operation was if we have to go inside of the operating system, say Windows, to do something, it's probably not our feature. And so as a result, we have a small number of features, but when you kind of combine them up, they effectively solve a PC management problem, and people are willing to pay money for that. We did not see a market for, you know, selling a client hypervisor. That's kind of, you know, like, you know, why bother? What are you going to do with it?
Is that how you guys came out of 2008, really, or 2000? I guess it would be, yeah. I mean, because at the time, I remember going to VMworld or Synergy or something along those lines and talking to Virtual Computer and Neocleus, and I swear there were other ones too. And of course, you know, if you look at who's around circa the day before Synergy, there was Virtual Computer and there was Citrix, and that was really it. So you kind of outlasted the other guys that were out there. Is that I don't even remember what Neocleus's message was, but
that's a really good point. They thought the hypervisor was interesting.
So apparently we're having some Skype issues here. Can you hear us, Dan?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Dang.
I can hear you guys. Are you losing me?
Yeah, you sound like the scrambled droids communication from Star Wars.
Nerd.
All right, maybe I'm talking too fast.
Hey, what we're going to do,
too fast. Yeah.
We're going to send you a phone number. Maybe you can, we can, actually, if you want to send us your phone number, we can call you, or else if you want to call us.
Hang on a second, guys.
Do you have, do you just want to email him the phone number real quick, or do we have the, okay, so while
that's what you get when you flirt with London and Skype, so.
But it's weird. Well, anyway, but so while we're doing that, we can talk about,
so
I guess.
We can talk about, I guess.
Oh, here we go.
We're not ready.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to the Kevin Pollak chat show quite a bit. And
I've been listening to Kevin Pollak.
We're going to borrow it from him. Oh.
So, Justin, do you hear the, I don't know if you can hear that. That,
that was coming through
someone. Right. You can hear that. That was coming through someone else.
Okay, I think I'm in.
Yeah, but now we've got echo somewhere else, so I don't know where that is coming from.
Somebody has a vector.
Dan, do you have headphones on? Man, so that was my question in the list of questions to talk about, and or my most recent one at least. And so, yeah, I really wanted to hear the response to that. Hopefully we can get him back.
Yeah, someone asked about GoToMeeting. I don't know, maybe we should have joined, I don't know, conference call, all this kind of stuff. But we have the, I mean, we have telephones that they can dial in. And I assume it wasn't like, maybe it was on our end with the phone thing. I don't know if it could be the way the phone took them, but it probably never changed. If this doesn't work out, we can maybe just push this conversation with him back, you know, to like he's back to stateside or something like that.
And so we can move on to like the industry part of the show, and you know, if we can't get Dan hooked up, then Justin can patch him back in.
All right, so
what's on your mind? We haven't had a show in forever, man. Like it was before Bryform, right? I mean, we had our special edition last week with Nexenta, but we haven't had like the Brian and Gabe shoot the shit for an hour show.
So here's okay. So next, so I'll take Nexenta.
Hey guys.
Oh yeah. Hey, how are you?
I think I'm back. I apologize. I didn't know how to dial
001. Wait, now you're super quiet. Can you?
Okay. Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I forgot where I dropped off.
There we go.
Is it sounding okay?
Yeah, it still seems super quiet to me, but I don't know if you and the audience also can hear Dan okay. From my end, he's really quiet, but maybe.
Hey, chat room, how's he sound?
Yeah, okay. I'm still talking here. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, as long as it looks good to Justin. So, I mean, we were kind of talking about, so Gabe had asked, so Dan, where we left off, Gabe had asked, you know, sort of the early days, was talking about there was a lot of sort of hype around client hypervisors.
And several then, vendors, you know, and then and virtual computer really is the only one besides Citrix to come out of 2008. You know, and Neocleus is the only one that sticks in my head because I just remember going around and having conversations with people at one of the major shows that we go to. And but so what was the philosophy difference? That's kind of what led into the question, was about how a virtual computer solution is more about managing the devices and Windows images and things like that. It's not just about having a client hypervisor. Is that the main difference between the focus of virtual computer and the other guys? Or, I mean, I swear there was a part of that with Neocleus. So what's virtual computer part? Like, why does virtual computer weather that storm?
Yeah, no, you've hit it right on the head, which is we knew the monetization model right up front, which was management. You know, I think Neocleus came out of the gates thinking that a client hypervisor would create a security product, which it can, but you know, that's a relatively small market and hard to develop. It's going to be some sort of government three-letter agency type market or something like that. But overall, what it really enables is better management. And again, we didn't have to look too far. We just looked at what happened in the server environment and said, that's the way you monetize it. And so we were right. And basically, everyone else that did this either didn't build a Type 1 hypervisor, or they built a Type 1 hypervisor, but they didn't really go after the management system at the same way. And to some degree, that included Citrix. I think Citrix started a little after us. But they were making very good progress on the client hypervisor side, like we were on a Type 1 client hypervisor, and both of the products are based on Xen. But I think we had spent more time on the management system, which was a lot of the, you know, the synergy, if you will, between the two companies.
Well, can you talk a bit about that? Because I think that you're right. I mean, the way I recall is that Citrix announced they were going to build their own client hypervisor. And I think around the same time, they also announced that they became an investor in Virtual Computer. And so from the get-go, the companies weren't necessarily in hardcore competition with each other, I would imagine. But being both based on, you're both based on the Xen hypervisor, but you both had, like, the hypervisors are different in Virtual Computer versus Xen Client, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think when at those early days, it would have been difficult for us to. So we always wanted to collaborate on the client side because, again, we viewed it as an enabler. You know, I think at the time, Citrix probably thought of it as offline VDI. That was kind of the ilk of VMware and Citrix, yeah. You know, 3 years ago. And we looked at it as, you know, just a better way to manage PCs. But overall, I think our intent was to collaborate on the hypervisor side because it's an enabler and, you know, the investment was part of that and things of that nature. And then we just had our business plan and we were running hard at it. And, you know, you get 3 years down the road and you're still working on a really hard problem and you've got two great teams. You know, it's a pretty natural thing to want to put those together. And again, for us, you know, we were trying to get to, say, a $100 million company. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar market. And if you look at a company like Citrix, you know, Citrix has the scale to go after really the full opportunity.
Did you announce how far to the $100 million did you get?
Not far enough.
Not far enough. But so did Citrix, I mean, when this deal happened, I mean, is this, you know, obviously, I guess you're going to spin this, but I have to ask it anyway. I mean, is Virtual Computer existing as its own company? Was this the Citrix? Because Citrix has bought companies in fire sale mode before and then reverse spun it into like a strategic acquisition, but really became cheap. Obviously, if Citrix was an investor in Virtual Computer, they must have had a seat at the board and known the financials and all that kind of thing. So, is this a strategic thing for Citrix, or is the Virtual Computer kind of run out of runway, as they say, and Citrix had first right of refusal?
No, I think this is it's very typical sometimes in venture-backed companies that when we were out doing a financing round, and you know some sort of transaction is going to occur, whether it's a financing or in this case it was an acquisition. So there were compelling events, but no, we were a going forward company, and really I think this is strategic and for both companies, quite frankly. I think if we hadn't combined with Citrix, I think there was the danger that we wouldn't have been able to go fast enough. I mean, the investment we're making here is substantial, and you really need somebody who gets this market to really capitalize on it. So I think for Citrix, it was getting, you know, accelerate now because the time is now. You know, we've been talking about client-side virtualization and desktop, you know, Type 1 hypervisors and why aren't they deployed? And I can give you two good answers. One is production-ready Type 1 hypervisors on the client are very, very hard to build. And now these products are there, and you're going to start to really see them. And the flip side is Type 2 isn't the answer. So the products that were in the market that were doing some Type 2 work, that's not what the customer is after. You know, in the same way they're not after that on the server environment. So, you know, we've all been waiting, but we've been waiting for the products to be ready, not for something with the market or something else.
So can you talk, you mentioned at the top of this call that that you're part of the Xen client business at Citrix. Can you just, so that's a specific thing, right? The Xen client business. I assume the Xen client business is part of the Xen desktop business. I don't know. I mean, how does the Xen client business fit into the world of Citrix?
Yeah, I can give you a little bit of a breakdown. So Zen Client is part of Zen Desktop Enterprise and Zen Desktop Platinum. As part of the acquisition, and I can just give you some of the integration. I'll give you a little bit of a preview because this was announced at Synergy. Nextop, which was our product, is being rebranded and with some enhancements as Zen Client Enterprise. And this is the first version of Zen Client that is going to be sold standalone. For instance, the relationship that Virtual Computer had built with Lenovo, that's continuing. And, we've got a number of things going on that, where folks would benefit from having a standalone product. Over time, what we expect to do is bring the best of both products together. So our management system, and when I say our, the former Virtual Computer management system, with the best of what Zen Client has done. And the folks at Citrix have done an amazing job. I'm actually here in Cambridge, England right now with some of the developers here, and they're just an awesome group of guys. And so between those two things, and you'll see this, flowing out over the next kind of 12 to 18 months, you're going to see a blended roadmap. But the initial product is going to be built around ours. And there's also in the market today the Zen Client XT product, which is a highly secure, high-performance hypervisor. That's still in the market. That's based 100% on the Zen Client, Citrix product.
So there's definitely...
Hey, guys, hang on 2 seconds. The chat room says they can't hear anything. So we're talking to nobody at the moment.
I wonder if they're just... Tell them to refresh in the chat room because I wonder if they accidentally paused it.
Okay, somebody says just guy.
Yeah, just tell him to refresh the page. he probably hit pause by mistake. All right. Okay. Cool. So anyway. So clearly there's a whole bunch of like product name fun, which I guess is just inevitable with this kind of stuff. So you got Zen Client Enterprise. Citrix always does this. They take different products or different technologies and give them the same name. So you got Zen Client Enterprise, which is based on Virtual Computer Virtual Computer Nextop rebranded, which is part of Zen Desktop Enterprise and Zen Desktop Platinum, but also standalone product. But Zen Client Enterprise is not the same product as Zen Client, which is also available as standalone Zen Client XP. If I got that right.
The Zen Client XT is that. I think you actually got that right. The Zen Client XT product is a specialized, highly secured product and being developed, co-developed with some government folks. And those kind of have different roadmaps and different cycles. You've got to do testing and things on that. But over time, the intent is to take the best of that product along with the current Nextop product and come out with something, even better than what we're going to have right now shipping at the end of this month.
Shipping at the end of this month is just the rebranded Zen Client Enterprise, which is basically Virtual Computer Nextop 4, I guess, right? Just rebranded for Citrix.
You said there's some enhancements.
It's actually 4.1. We had a major point release coming up, and so we've used that release. So there's actually a bunch of new features from what you've seen in the past. But probably the biggest thing for Citrix customers is it really broadens the HCL. So there's a lot more computers that it'll run on now. So in the past, Zen Client had a narrow but high performance group of computers that it would run on. And we had chosen that virtual computer to run on a wider variety. And I think, that's good news for everybody because we're going to get all of that performance back, let's call it by the end of the year. But in the first iteration, we can put it on a lot more computers, probably just about anything you have in your organization.
Well,
so is the
go on, Gabe.
I was going to say, is the plan to bake that broader HCL into the other versions of Zen Client then, the XT? And I guess a follow-up to that is the regular Zen Client, is that sticking around or is that going away in favor of Zen Client Enterprise?
So the Zen Client is the Zen Client that's the not XT version that was produced by Citrix is sticking around as a standalone download, free user product. But the one that you would purchase, especially if you were interested in, deploying it, in an organization would be Zen Client Enterprise or Zen Client XT in the event that you're, working on one of these government projects.
Okay, so that's...
Will the hypervisor be standardized between them then? Sorry, Brian, it was just a follow-up on that one before we lost it. So the freely available Zen client that you can download from Citrix.com, is that just going to remain unchanged from here on out, or is that going to start to be built on the next hop, I want to say, you know, hypervisor with the broader H hardware compatibility list and stuff?
That's a very good question. I think over time we do need to get to a common base, for the hypervisor. Although there's nothing really to stop the management system from managing multiple versions, and it will do that for some period of time as well. But overall, there's just too much synergy between what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, we're actually in the meetings here. I'm in Cambridge with the virtual computer engineering team and the Citrix engineering team, and we're just really starting and digging into those discussions of how we're going to bring, you know, a unified product to the market. But we're not ready to make any announcements there.
Okay, so for the rest of this conversation, let's put Zen Client XT off to the side, because that's a special hypervisor with special funding and special government agencies who want it and everything. So really, it's a completely separate thing. So every time I say Zen Client from here on out, I'm not talking about Zen Client XT. So that said, it kind of seems like, well, first of all, a lot of people, I believed that the virtual computer next top was a better product than Zen Client. And even if you put the management alone, it's way better. But even if you put that aside, it seemed that the virtual computer hypervisor was a better hypervisor. Again, maybe I'm biased because of the HCL. And Dan, I loved your answer. It was so corporate and marketing about how, like, well, we had a little broader HCL and they were narrower, but hey, they had high performance, you know. And but I mean, I'm kind of reading between the lines. It sounds like Citrix sort of bought virtual computer and kind of killed Zen Client. Again, I'm not talking about Zen Client XT, but and the branding lives on. But I mean, like, the efforts they made towards Zen Client, it's like, okay, here, F it. It's now free, and you just download it for free and play with it and whatever. But here's the real hypervisor we're going to be using, and that's all the virtual computer stuff. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think it's a little overstated. I think, sometimes the truth will set you free. I think the product that was closest to production ready at both ends was Nextop, and that's what's coming out of Zen Client Enterprise. But, the Citrix team has done just an awesome job of creating an architecture as a platform that other people can then build on top of. And we were not particularly worried about, you know, creating an ecosystem and an industry around the hypervisor. And so as a result, our system was more closed. And I think what we need to do is really look hard at not just that architecture, but the components that were implemented, and then bring that to market in the future. And whether it was built, that future product was built around Nextop code base or, the current Zen Client XT code base, that's what our engineers are actually in the room right now figuring out. But either way it went, it's going to be a blend of the two technologies going forward, and there's plenty of value on both sides.
So it's almost going to be like one of these. I mean, the core product has to, you know, you're going to take someone's CVS and move forward. So the question is,
there's still features though.
Well, that yeah,
they're
yeah,
roll
yeah
in,
right, 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 right.
I mean,
that's
NVIDIA,
what I'm saying,
integration.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. But what I'm saying is, you're going to take your choices are take virtual computers product and pop in the features from Citrix you can, or you take Citrix's product and pop in the features from virtual computer that you can. Now, I know Dan said that he's in, you know, Cambridge, like working that out right now, but I'm putting my money on it's the virtual computer product that moves forward, and they pop in a few Zen Client features that are sort of easy wins for them.
That may be true in the short run. I think in the longer run, it's probably going to be a much more thoughtful process than that. And it could well be. And right now, I would say the plan is to build around XT because of the architectural decisions around keeping it as an open platform. So I think the difference here is really, you know, it's not actually a big concern for anybody who's looking at this. You know, one of the features that we had as part of our management system was the ability to upgrade the client very easily. In fact, that was something that, you know, was on the Citrix roadmap and probably would have come out right around this time frame anyway, which is a push button over the air upgrade of the client. So whatever client you start with, you're going to end up with whatever's the best of the best, and all you're going to do is push a button to deploy it. So while it's fun to conjecture, it's actually in practice, it's not all that meaningful because the product's just going to get better.
I think that was a Winston Churchill style insult, but but so let me ask you this. So,
well, I mean, you know, certainly everyone inside the company wants to know which way this is going, but it's very early, and again, I can tell you on a piece of paper and from what we've seen, there's a ton of value in what Citrix you know had been building prior to this acquisition, but the early value in terms of going to market is in the Nextop product because of its you know, more production ready nature. I mean, it's just kind of that simple.
That's cool. But if you leave Citrix 1 year plus 1 day or 2 years plus 1 day past the acquisition date, then we're going back in time and deleting everything you said right now.
I'm going to be sticking around for a while. So there will be no worries there.
All right. So the biggest question for me, and I'm sort of proud of myself that we made it 30 minutes into the show without me doing this off the bat, because I feel like we needed some background information. The biggest thing for me about Citrix buying Virtual Computer is that historically Citrix has ignored the traditional physical desktop market. And to Citrix, everything is a VM. And as you said, Xen clients was not a desktop management solution. Xen client
was offline VDI when it first came out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Xen client was an extension of Xen desktop. It was an extension of your already virtualized desktops to run locally. Now, Virtual Computer has taken that from the other side, where Virtual Computer is not trying to compete against VDI, but Virtual Computer is trying to be the PC and laptop management solution and go against, I think, Dan, you said it yourself, that you're solving the PC management problem. Virtual Computer solves the PC management problem. They're not in the market to sell a client hypervisor. So by acquiring Virtual Computer, the fork in the road for Citrix is, do they now embrace that and say, yes, we are also going to go after the traditional PC management problem? Or do they sort of like co-opt and mold what your Virtual Computer had done in the traditional PC management space and turn that into an extension of the Xen desktop product?
And how interesting is that, Brian, that it happens at the same time that VMware buys Winova, which, while it takes a different approach, is arguably
no shit.
Same
thing. No, that's true. That's a good point.
I think they bought Winova afterwards. That's not a hypervisor, by the way. That's a
but the point is
it's a different approach, but they're still involving
PC
themselves
management.
And now
the point is PC management.
Yeah.
But Dan.
I think, Brian, was that Brian that asked that question? I think, or made that comment. I'd like to, just comment a little bit on it, because I think, first of all, I think it's a valid question. And if you look at what Citrix is really trying to do, around FlexCast, it's really provide all of the tools. And so, one of our largest customers one of our largest virtual computer customers was a very large bank. I don't want to say their name, but they had somewhere around 60% of their seats earmarked for VDI. The other 40%, and this is, we're talking tens and tens of thousands of seats, they were looking at our product. And so I think there is a blend in, especially in the enterprise market, for these two technologies. And what a good solid Xen client product provides is the IT manager to be able to make that choice. And if you buy a Xen desktop enterprise or premium, you just have those options, right? So for Citrix, it's about going further in the organization. And then the really cool thing, and this is something we just started seeing prior to the acquisition, is that our customers were already blending the two technologies. So for example, we had customers that were taking Nextop, laying it down as their base on their PCs because they could deliver operating systems and maintain them very easily. But on top of that, they were running Xen desktop sessions accessing VDI infrastructure. This was a hospital, and that's actually their deployment model. So not only do you have an opportunity to kind of cover all your machines, but you can mix and match these things very effectively. And you're definitely going to see that from Citrix in the future.
So I wonder how that's going to go back to Citrix marketing, and this is sort of more of a speculative kind of thing, but I wonder if Citrix is going to, I mean, I guess obviously Citrix wants to have products in, every single desktop at a company, and by sort of rolling Xen app into Xen desktop, they've probably got a big jump on that. But I mean, I wonder if we're going to see that, like with them actually going after sort of laptop users, but trying to you know, go after them in the context of managing laptops better, and not in the context of just taking the VDI or the back end desktop virtualization and taking it out to laptops. Because it's just such a fundamentally different approach to the market, I guess, you know. And even though we can look at Citrix FlexCast and say, yeah, well, this is, I see how there's multiple modes of delivery. I mean, I don't know.
Well, laptops are front and center. I mean, you know, if you look at what Intel's doing with the Ultrabooks, this is a serious, serious effort by the PC industry. And, you know, the operating system itself and the laptop, while they're in these awesome form factors, you know, hasn't necessarily gotten easier to maintain and operate in the field. And so, you know, again, the ability to use your virtual machine environment, this, you know, let's take it from a, you know, the vision of a single gold image and deploy it on any form factor, whether it's, you know, on a plane or it's, you know, in an office on a thin client. I mean, that's just an awesome product. And I think one of the comments you made was virtual computers started, you know, at the end point. We started with laptops, which is the really hard problem, and, you know, we're kind of moving into PCs. We had a bunch of deployments on desktops as well. But there was no doubt in our mind that over time we were going to need to build, you know, essentially the ability to take those same virtual machines that we had up in our data center or in our management system and play those out as VDI sessions. There's no question we were going there. And I think Citrix, you know, started from the other end. And, you know, these things do meet in the middle, but that overall product, and if you look at the suite of products in the FlexCast model, I mean, that's the answer.
So I want to shift gears a little bit, and a bunch of people in the chat room have been talking about performance and the sort of raw performance of the virtual computer hypervisor versus Zen Client. And again, not counting Zen Client XT, I think the approaches, again, were a little bit different also. And Dan, you sort of alluded to this earlier, that virtual computer was really going for a broad hardware compatibility list, whereas Citrix with Zen Client was not, and Citrix maybe had some better GPU type performance, but I wonder how
they wanted it. Citrix wants to tie in more with the hardware. Remember, I mean, there was talks about, you know, they were in bed with NVIDIA, they were in bed with Dell, you know, it was that kind of a thing where they just wanted to get the thing out there.
Yeah. Well, because I'm asking, I'm sorry, like, does this even matter? And here's, like, with my laptop now, I've got a MacBook Air. It's, as of yesterday, it's two gens old, right? So the current MacBook Airs are literally four times faster than this one. And, you know, this laptop is fine. And so I wonder, because we always talk about Moore's Law and accelerating so fast, and yes, everything's getting more bloated and it's important for some people in certain industries, but for the average office worker, I mean, it seems like even the laptop of 3 or 4 years ago is fine. So does the performance, does it matter, or like, are all laptops just so crazily fast now that who gives a shit if you're adding 10% overhead or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of our view. You know, the things that change. So, I mean, I could show you our product running on a Dell D630. In fact, I think one of my ex-sales guys, you know, who's now a Citrix sales guy, a former virtual computer sales guy, was running on a D630, which is a four-year-old machine that everybody is replacing, right?
That's the laptop
so
that was stolen
ran fine
in the bag
in generation.
Buenos Aires, Brian.
I'm sorry, wait, you guys are talking at the same time. Say what, Gabe?
Oh, I said that's the laptop that was stolen out of your luggage in Buenos Aires.
That I was mulling down
to show how old that is.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah. So yeah, the new generations just get faster and faster. I think that the one turn that we didn't anticipate 4 years ago was that disks actually got smaller. They got a heck of a lot faster, but they got smaller. So, you know, some of the areas that we need to work on are, you know, just kind of making, you know, when you change your assumption that we started with the assumption that you're going to have plenty of disk and you can run, you know, 100 VMs, right, if you wanted to. And, you know, we need to rethink that a little bit and try to get more space efficient and things like that. But overall, that you're right, Moore's Law is making this just kind of irrelevant. The applications haven't gotten that much harder. You know, it's such that you need that. But at the same time, if you want that snappy modern day computing experience, I mean, you're going to get that on an Ultrabook and you're going to love it. And whether you have a hypervisor or not, it's going to be a pretty, pretty awesome platform.
And it seems like really the challenge is if you're a hypervisor, you need to support everything. So so how fast it is, as we just sort of mentioned, maybe doesn't matter. But if you've got multi-touch trackpad, if you've got fingerprint, you know, scanners. You've got now USB 3 and Thunderbolts. If you have all these things, like, it seems like that's what you got to support. And whether you do it with overhead or not, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, welcome to our world. That's the hard stuff, and that's why you need relationships with, you know, Intel and all the major chip vendors and the PC OEMs. And you know, we knew that, and we were partnered up with Lenovo. And you're right that Citrix has a great relationship with Dell. But you know, overall, if you want to be running on these platforms, you've got to be embedded in the PC ecosystem. One, because it changes rapidly, and two, you're solving this incredible problem for IT. I mean, it's a hard problem to monetize, but this is the way to do it, which is every IT department has somebody, and all they worry about is the next generations of chips so that they can go to their gold images, ghost or whatever, and overload the drivers or make sure the drivers are right and then be able to deploy them down. And if you kind of looked at how much money and people and effort are spent on doing that, it's in small chunks, but it's in every company on the planet. And once you've got a hypervisor there, that whole problem goes away.
Well, really? Because don't you still have, I mean, are you still talking about overbuilding drivers and all that kind of stuff anyway for different form factors? Or are you doing paravirtualization for all the different GPUs and all that sort of thing?
So we need a strategy, and it varies across, you know, having specific drivers for specific technologies to paravirtualizing technologies, everything you just mentioned. But again, we're taking it on as a company of a lot of people that probably aggregately have more knowledge and resources than any of the single IT departments that's taking it on. And then we're able to give that benefit back to everybody by saying, here's a hypervisor. If we run on it, your OS, that same OS, is going to run on it. And you don't have to care anymore whether it's NVIDIA or Intel graphics, because we're going to take care of that for you. Now, are we there yet today? I mean, that's the vision and the promise. I would say that, you know, again, Virtual Computer had done a pretty good job at broadening the HCL to the point where we could run on a lot of stuff. And we just got to make sure we keep that while we then get the performance up to, you know, a native PC.
Could you run on a lot of stuff with literally the same image?
Oh, absolutely. If we ran on it, you didn't have to worry what was in the machine. So the trick was, did we run on it? And we had a little pool that tested for it. We called it Next Stop Ready. It's now called, I think it's called Zen Client Ready, or Zen, yeah, something
Citrix
like that.
Citrix Zen Client for Enterprise Ready Access Cloud Edition.
So you run that tool, and if it says yes, then you don't have to worry. Your image runs on there, and you don't have to think about overloading drivers.
So do you think the promise from Citrix is even to do it across modes? So now they're going to have, are you going to put the, you know, the VDA from Zen Desktop VDI in, load all that functionality into the image that you would also put onto a virtual computer client?
I mean, there's no reason that, you know, again, it's a VM just like any other VM, although when it's running on the client, it almost operates like a desktop. So think of the recent announcement around remote PC.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that was done for a whole bunch of different reasons in the VDI world, but, you know, it's highly applicable to, let's say you're running on a desktop and you've got an iPad. And by the way, we have a customer that's doing this. They kind of showed us the way. They put in their, you know, the agent inside of the Citrix agent inside of their VM that they delivered through Nextop, and they had a bunch of lawyers walking around with iPads getting remote access. So, you know, all of these technologies blend very well together. You know, the whole FlexCast model with the ability to deliver around, you know, virtual applications, the you know, the personal vDisk, the share file, all of those technologies can be brought to bear on any of these models. And in fact, when you do that, you kind of have abstracted where you're running to the point where it doesn't matter that much. Hey, I'm on a laptop, but my stuff's up in share file, and I can get access to it from a VDI session. You know, and similarly with my application. So, you know, that's,
I mean,
that's things the
like
model going forward.
VDI, like that lawyer situation you just mentioned with remote PC and things like that, where you could actually have the VMs running on everybody's machines and not have to worry about running it on servers with big storage and things like that in the data center. You could run two VMs on every machine, and the people that were remote could on every actual physical PC. And so instead of centralizing the VDI in the data center, that those virtual desktops are actually just distributed around on the shop floor. I don't know how many people would use that, but that's certainly a potential use case when you can put the broker on or the VDA on inside every virtual machine.
No, you're dead right. I mean, we're kind of at the beginning of the beginning here, which is, you know, the technology is now going to be out there, and we're going to start to see people deploy this stuff in very creative ways. Again, we thought of a lot of these ideas, but when we started to see our customers using them, that's when we got pretty excited, because it really isn't an enabler. The hypervisor is an enabling technology, and then you've got to build the innovation around it in the management system and the kinds of things that you do inside those images.
One of the other use cases that I talked about when learning about the VMware Nova acquisition was being able to deploy the same image to VDI or to local, depending upon where you're accessing from. And so Citrix has a lot of intelligence as far as with the access gateway and cloud gateway and things like that, that we can use that to decide whether the person's coming from a machine that's sitting on the LAN where maybe the experience would be better. And so the image is delivered to them as a virtual computer VM directly to their device. And then maybe otherwise it's sent to a VDI host living in the data center that users coming in remotely. I don't know how, what do I want to say? I guess, is there any intercompatibility between VMs at this point, or will there ever be?
Good news there. The disk formats that we've chosen as companies are similar. They're both based on VHD. So those VHDs will run on, you know, really any environment. I think that the trick is to get a management system where you've got a single pane of glass that, you can assign it all around. And again, that was our roadmap. That probably was going to be, 2014 for virtual computer. But I think in the context of Citrix and all of the technology, and then also the technologists to build it, that's something that we'd certainly want to get to.
Right. In 2020, but now it's in 2020 because of the context of Citrix and that single pane of glass.
I think we're much closer to that. We've already been running these images from Zen Desktop on the Zen client. So it works today, but that's not in the market yet.
I just want to say the idea of being able to send that virtual machine to a physical desktop or to a virtual machine like a VDI desktop from the data center, it almost sounds like I'm talking about offline VDI, but I'm not, because this is more like the Intel thing, the intelligent desktop virtualization, where you actually take that workload and execute it locally, if that makes more sense. So it's not about copying, check in and check out or things like that, but this is actually about smartly delivering the desktop where it needs to be to get the best experience, which to me is pretty cool.
That's exactly right. You named it exactly. You hit it right on the head. And, the idea of checking in and out of VM is just a broken idea. I mean, that is the objects are just so large that, you're either going to be waiting a long time, and if you didn't get all the bits. Now, there's very clever things that you can do around, let's say streaming. Let's say you really did just want one VM. You could bring it down to the endpoint. You could start using it as a VDI while you trickled down the bits and do things like that. So there's some real innovation to go create here. But as far as, as a standard practice, I'm going to walk into the office, grab a laptop, check it out, and then check it back in when I get back. That's not really the model. The model is to keep the virtual machines where they're supposed to run and then provide synchronization tools between them. And that's a much better model.
Can NextStop stream now the image down to a physical? Brian, I can hear you seething to try to get in there and talk. I'm sorry.
Given I have a chat,
I've got two questions. I got that one and one more.
No, it's all right. I'll sit on it.
So can I get our NextStop VM streamed already, or do they reside on the device?
No, they reside on the device. I mean, they're downloaded, if you will, file transferred down. I mean, a VHD is just a file, so once they're there, you then start them. You don't start them before or kind of do a live migration of them. But again, you just think about all of the things that we've seen, on the server side. There's nothing to stop those kinds of operations from happening.
Well, and that's my last point, was provisioning server is out there yet. And so maybe that could be used to stream the actual images to wherever they need to go. So
we had that discussion. We're only a month in here, guys. We need a little more time. But
all right,
like I said,
Brian,
we're
the
at the beginning
yours.
Of the beginning on the innovation curve.
So all right. So I'm going to go back to Intel And, you know, Gabe mentioned intelligent desktop virtualization, and Dan, you said that, yeah, I hit the nail on the head. And Dan, you also earlier mentioned something about Ultrabooks and Intel's vision around there, and they're so good and everything. Can you expand on that? Because I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Like, I don't get why. I mean, Intel, to me, I don't know. What, like, Ultrabooks, like, why do you love Ultrabooks, and why do you think Intel's, like, nailing it, going to nail it with Ultrabooks?
So, you know, you walk around a coffee shop and you see MacBook Air, MacBook Air, MacBook Air. And, you know, I'm carrying a PC that doesn't look like that, doesn't feel like that, right? But I'm a PC. Now, having said that, I think there's a great opportunity to do the same kind of virtualization on top of Apple, and it's not like we want to ignore that in any way. But just that form factor is very attractive to people, and I think you know, as those start to hit the market, you're going to see people saying, "Wait a second here, you know, I like my applications on Windows or you know whatever it is, but I can get this same benefit now with a PC device." So I think that's just a baseline, you know, Ultrabook you know, vision. And then beyond that, you know, if that thing becomes very well managed, a la the type of management that we're able to deliver, so that the headache goes away, you know, if the thing is lost, stolen, or broken, or if it's not patched properly, then you've really got an awesome solution. And you know, I think what we'll see is you know, lots and lots of tablets, but I don't think the PC is going anywhere. You kind of need that form factor to get work done.
Well, I agree on that. But so your point is just that, what, like when the Ultrabooks come out, that'll, I guess people can have a form factor that they like, but then then IT can also manage it in a virtual computer type way. Right? Like that's what you're saying. Like
yeah,
you like the Ultrabook because it's that form factor plus virtual computer.
Yeah, I think the Ultrabook is you know is sort of the you know the vision of the future of portables and probably at the beginning of the beginning there. I mean, you can certainly imagine, you know, touch screens integrated with these devices, convertibles that you know have you know are doing really cool things. And then Windows 8, I'm sure you guys have played with it, but it's got a great touch interface. So I mean, if you kind of look at all of those things, I think there's a second inning coming here where people are starting to say, holy cow, look at this technology. And you know, what we want to be is the people behind that, you know, with this FlexCast model that says, okay, you want a tablet and you want to do VDI to that, great. If you want access, you know, on a train, plane, or automobile, here's another form factor. And just take that whole big, you know, agita of decision-making away because you get it all with, you know, with one of your Zen desktop or your licenses.
Unfortunately, we only have 7 minutes left in the show, so we can't have the conversation that we should really have about everything you just said. Because I think
I'll be happy to come back on if you need more time and people want to hear more.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, I'm a believer now that the whole, you know, the desktop as a monolithic thing is going away. And historically, we've been in this, you know, desktop management or desktop delivery or desktop virtualization business, but it has been this monolithic desktop, which was your Windows OS and your apps and your data and your configuration and your security and your runtime and, like, you know, the UI and all that kind of stuff. And now as we start to see this sort of be broken up into different components, it's interesting, like, because at some point for applications that have to be, for applications that need to run on Windows, there has to be a Windows instance somewhere. And if that Windows instance is on an endpoint, that's where virtual computer technology, specifically from the isolation and management, can come in to sort of deliver that, make that happen. But getting that into, like, touch and convertibles and, I don't know, that's a whole other – my mind's not – I'm not convinced – I'm not sold yet on that, that's the traditional PC management approach to delivering a monolithic desktop. I'm not sold that that's the right way to deliver the desktops moving forward. Now, that doesn't mean that virtual computer is dead, because clearly these old school desktops are going to be around for 20 years. So, you know, we got time. But I don't know.
I think the key thing there, Brian, is is not so much how the operating system evolves. In fact, think of it this way. The hypervisor allows you to run really any operating system and switch between them almost effortlessly, okay? So while the, you know, the headache, if you will, in PC management is today tied to, you know, how difficult it is to do it with agents inside of Windows, you know, the future is some new operating system, and wow, what better way to try it than a hypervisor where you can keep the old environment next to the new one, or blend these things together. So I think that's when they become most interesting, is in the future where, you know, maybe this PC is all it's used is to access the cloud. I mean, let's take the Chromebook as an example. Well, the Chromebook is a whole operating system. It's just Google tries to update it for you. Well, maybe IT departments want to update it for themselves, and maybe they don't want to put in, you know, XYZ media player. They want to put in, you know, ABC media player. Well, they can do that in this type of environment because we provide a very simple way to, you know, build, patch, maintain, and, you know, and modify operating systems.
Yeah, but you said you didn't want to be...
They have a model that's very friendly.
But you said you didn't want to be inside Windows. I mean, you provide the way to deliver the operating system.
And yeah, the patching mechanism that we use is outside of Windows. It's basically, you know, you go up to a central management server. So IT's dealing with Windows, but we take whatever changes that you made and we construct them into what we call a delta disk. It's part of a VHD disk chain, and we just send that down and then marry it up at the endpoint. So we don't have to have any knowledge of what you did to your operating system. We just know that you just have the confidence that if you push a button and say publish, it's going down to that device and it's going to run there the same way it ran, you know, up on your console. That's kind of how we accomplish that without getting into Windows. And that same thing applies to, you know, Android and Chrome OS and, you know, you name it.
But it seems like you just kind of had like a scope creep or mission creep or something, because, you know, the whole stated vision of virtual computer for the first 54 minutes of the conversation was about, oh, it's not about the hypervisor, it's about PC management and delivering, securing, protecting, et cetera, et cetera. But then right now you just said, oh, but in the future it's awesome because I can run two different OSs side by side. And then that's like a way different, like I feel like that's just like jumping the shark sort of.
I have to disagree with that. So it's the same thing. So think about one of the core challenges that faces an IT department from PC management. How do I take people off of XP, put them on Windows 7, you know, much less Windows 8? The hypervisor makes that a snap. So that's actually core right into the middle of PC management. But, you know, are we talking about Windows management or are we talking about PC management? And it's really not a ton of features. There's five or six things the product does, but it just turns out those are the hard things to accomplish. And they then become the base with the hypervisor to you know, kind of poke into new areas of innovation, you know, blending these different models and doing different things with them. So I think it's an evolution. I don't think it's a, you know, a right turn. I think it's all part of the same kind of base technology.
It's interesting. It occurred to me, and Virtual Computer is has been one of my more favorite vendors. Gabe and I gave Virtual Computer runner up in the best of show for VMworld last year. Mm-hmm. But it occurs to me. I'm sorry.
I said we thank you
that. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, make good products and then we win. But it occurs to me as we're talking that if you look at the whole vision that Gabe and Jack and I outlined in our VDI Delusion book, which I'll reiterate again, only the first half of the book was us ragging on VDI. The second half was talking about the future of enterprise computing and desktops and everything. If the market, it just occurred to me, like if the market goes in the direction that I hope it goes personally, then products like Virtual Computer are irrelevant. I'm hoping they become irrelevant. Now, I'm hoping not for your sake, like on the phone, and you know, you're at Citrix, and Citrix has a lot of play in this kind of future thing, but like, I almost hope that we get to the point where, you know, what the future application architectures we have mean that, you know, you say that Virtual Computer or a client hypervisor allows users to run a different OS. But I almost hope that the future application architecture means that we don't have to run a different OS. Like, it just shouldn't matter. And I'm kind of hoping that, like, in the next 5 years, I'm just not in the Windows image management game anymore. And hopefully I just don't have to care about that kind of stuff.
Maybe you, but yeah. And you're right. I mean, that's where we should be, I think. But a lot of organizations are still stuck in whatever, for whatever reason, for any number of reasons, still managing Windows applications. And so that's where, you know, why not have a product still that can enable them to better manage those desktops, those devices,
you know,
and those apps?
I'll say it a little differently. I think Citrix has an awesome strategy around the consumerization of IT. You know, bring your own device and delivering apps. You know, via either server hosted or whatever mechanism, right? Where it's app delivery, it's not necessarily OS management, but. What I will say is that there is always an operating system there, and if there's a trend right now, it's that the vendors of those operating systems, a la Apple and things like that, are building, you know, these cloud-based management systems that are doing a lot of the same operations that we're doing. There's a whole bunch of IT departments that actually don't want to get their updates. You know, when something starts working, they don't want to fix it with, you know, the latest patch or whatever. They want to look at it, evaluate it, see if there's any problems with it. And so that's kind of what we're enabling. We're enabling the iTunes, if you will, of the corporate IT market. But should that go away, that would be a threat. I think more likely it's, you know, this technology is very deep in the stack. It's not necessarily even visible, but it doesn't inhibit any of the working models that you're talking about. It just makes it easier for those things to come to fruition.
And I guess if you look at the core management, I mean, maybe this can go both ways. Like we were talking about what existing back-end capabilities that Citrix ecosystem has that could apply to make better virtual computers. So maybe provisioning server, maybe connection brokers to desktops, maybe IntelliCache. But I wonder if this could work backwards too, where look at the management system that the virtual computer has in place to do updates and patching and flipping out images and layering and that kind of stuff. I wonder if there's something that Citrix, like if that can grow within Citrix, and maybe that becomes like the way, you know, VDI images, for example, are updated within the Citrix ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, the vision here, I'll tell you, just meeting some of the architects here is awesome. I think what you just described is, you know, whether it's built around our technology or some future integrated product or some new technology that's coming out of some of the labs here, I think the Citrix gets the management construct quite well. And that you can go and do things very simply in this flexible way and kind of cover that whole user base. So, yeah, I think you're onto it.
So maybe, you know, we're kind of running long on time, but maybe, Dan, you can just paint the next 12 months for us. What Citrix Zen Client Virtual Computer, what do your next 12 months look like?
So you're gonna see the Zen Client Enterprise 4.1 release come out. So 4.1 was the next release of NextStop, and that's what the new Zen Client Enterprise will be. And that's got some new cool features and management around role-based administration and things that the enterprise will really be excited about. You know, the ability to kind of lock down various elements of the management, so maybe one person can patch and another person can deploy, but nobody can delete, you know, an image, things like that. So these are maybe a little bit more tactical. It was a good solid release for us. That'll be the building block for release at the end of the year. Let's call it, you know, without a specific date, because I don't have one. That's going to bring a whole lot more performance and integration of the technologies that we both have. And then in that same time frame, we're working on, you know, the next thing. And I think that, you know, is going to be pretty awesome.
And I assume Citrix has eval versions, so I know Zen Client, historic Zen Client, has always been available for free. Can people go get the Zen Client Enterprise, formerly known as Virtual Computer Nextop? Can they just go and download and play with that?
Yep, you can do that today. You can go to either Virtual Computer's website, which is now a redirect to a much better infrastructure to download, or you can go to Zen Client and download Zen Client Enterprise. So no need to wait.
Cool.
I'm sorry, you can download Nextop. When we release it, you can download Zen Client Enterprise.
Right, okay.
But you can get started today.
Yeah.
And it's a push button upgrade to the release product.
Right, okay. Well, we got to wrap. So Dan McCall, thank you so much for taking the time to dial in and fill us in.
You're our first guest that has gone wall to wall on the show, I think. So this was a good conversation. I enjoyed it.
So I probably won't get invited back, huh?
It makes it easy.
Hey, listen, guys, this was fun. Sorry?
Yeah, it makes it easy for us, so that's fine with me.
Okay, well, I'm excited to have a chance to talk to you guys, and this was fun.
Yeah, thank you. And so a few program notes. So Gabe, as you mentioned, you're on vacation for like the next week and a half or so. So I guess I'm kind of holding down the fort. Jack is at Tech Ed right now, and we initially had the idea that he was going to call in and kind of fill us in with what's going on, but he said it's like I kind of feel like he's a weather reporter during a hurricane, and he's like, I'm so busy, there's so much going on, there's like 1,000 sessions I need to attend, don't have time, later. So so that's cool, you know, that he's there. And so he'll be, you can follow him on Twitter at Jack Madden. Let's see. I'm going to North Carolina tomorrow to speak at an event from I think they're called AGSI. It's Robert Morris's company. Robert Morris is a Citrix CTP. So we're doing an event there on Thursday. Then next week I'll be in Boston on Thursday. So this is June 21st. I'm in Boston for one of our consumerization of IT seminars, and that's a free event. And you can go to events.techtarget.com to find more information about that. And let's see, I think that's about it for the events for the rest of June. We have posted the sessions. I guess everyone knows that now. The session schedule for Bri Forum in Chicago, which takes place July 24th through 26th. Those sessions are now posted, so you can see the agenda. And what else? I guess that's about it, yeah?
Yeah, the actual videos of the sessions from Bri Forum London should be up starting today. So if you attended Bri Forum London, you can see those. Although you're probably listening to this a few days later, so maybe you already figured that out. But and you're flying solo during the show next week, right?
Well, yeah. So we'll bring Jack on. I think Jack is here. I think Jack will be back. Although maybe not, I don't know. But is Vittorio coming on next week? We're trying to get Vittorio in because now that VMware Vittorio Varengo, now that VMware bought,
I think that's the plan. I see Jack on a flight, I think, next Tuesday. Right. So you may be flying by yourself.
That's cool.
But all right. You and Vittorio have nothing to talk about.
Boom. Okay. So to all, thank you so much for listening. Gabe, obviously, thanks for going, for dialing in. To Dan, if you're still there, thank you so much. And we will be back here next week.